Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, we interrupt this reverie on the Savage Nation to give you an update on a yacht explosion off Sandy Hook, New Jersey, 17 miles out at sea. There's a report of a 135-foot yacht that has blown up with 21 folks aboard. Apparently, there are 9 injuries. We don't know much more about it, but I do have some information that you may not have heard on the local news that only I seem to know. Not only I, but I'm going to give you news that isn't on NBC yet or on the in the Star Ledger. We know it's a 135-foot yacht off the coast of New Jersey. We know that rescue boats have gone to get the people. We know that the name of the yacht is Blind Date. You should know that there are about 10 yachts known as Blind Date. That's number one. This yacht, Blind Date, was built in 1995 by the Lürssen shipyard in Germany. It's a great shipyard, incidentally. It was formerly called Xenia, X-E-N-I-A. And I'll update you as we find out more about the folks who were injured and rescued. As to the cause, we have no idea. I doubt very much we're going to get that information for you. The reason this is of interest to me is that we are a boating family. I myself own a boat. I'm on the water every week. I know people are on the water all the time. It's in our blood. And it's very, very unusual for a large yacht to have any kind of such explosion in our time. It's almost unheard of. It has happened, does happen, but I'll update you as time goes on. Florida will now take on the corrupt Obama administration. The governor of the state of Florida, God bless him, is not caving into the criminals in the Justice Department who insist that states permit illegal aliens to vote. Instead, the governor of Florida said, you know what? I have a job to uphold the Constitution. How dare you tell me I can't uphold it by purging voter rolls of illegal and non-legal voters? They're going to sue Eric Holder. It's astonishing to me that this man, Eric Holder, gets away with so much. But then again, every day is another surprise with this Chicago presidency. I'll tell you what I really want to talk about on the Savage Nation, and that is this. The Sandusky trial opened today in Pennsylvania. Sandusky is the assistant coach, accused of molesting boys over a long period of time. Shocking details emerge in the courtroom today from the prosecutor. Prosecution statements that his wife once interrupted him conducting such a sex act with a boy in a locker room and did nothing. This is a crazy story. And I'll tell you what I want to ask you, my audience. In studying this story, I read some psychological reports which stated that boys who are molested tend not to talk about it because of the stigma of having been so treated. We hear about girls molested, not diminishing those cases, but we rarely hear about boys being molested, except for the Catholic Church, which I'd rather not hear any more about because we've heard about it for years. Here is the question for the opening of the show today. Were you molested as a boy? Did you keep it hidden? How did it affect your life? That's because the Sandusky trial opened today. Let me repeat the question. This is an anonymous show. No one's going to know who you are. Many of you are walking around with this injury inside of you, wrapped up inside a cocoon, but it's affected your every breath of your life. Were you molested as a boy? Did you keep it hidden? How did it affect you to this date? This is the Savage Nation. We're open for business. It's not a confessional. It's a national talk radio show, bigger than Glenn Beck's. This is the real number three radio talk show in America. Savage Nation, Michael Savage, number three. Don't believe what you read in the paper. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. with you. We're going to get to the bottom of all of these stories today. Let's go to the callers. Let's go to New York. Wendy, Mendy. Mendy, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Dr. Savage?
Yes?
I actually want to speak to you about something that was mentioned on the air last week, not related to Sandusky trial.
And well, go ahead.
Questions about your grandfather's tailor shop.
Yes.
What stands in its place.
Yes.
Peter called to say that it's actually a church. And he mentioned it's ironic. You questioned him about the irony, and he fell short. He obviously misused the word. And I would like to explain to you what I think is ironic. And that is that a church represents a house of worship, but also represents plurality. I think you, Michael Savage, reaches out to every single person as an individual and has done so much more than just the message. You actually serve as the messenger.
But I don't, I accept what you're saying. It's a very grave compliment. But the question is, what is the proper word to use rather than irony?
I guess maybe divine. It really is. It's divine how one person came over to this country and I was a tailor. No one thought anything great of a tailor, whereas a building that represents religion is always looked at with grandiosity. And here's one man who has touched so many lives. I feel that's divine.
Are you a religious person yourself? Mendy. Mendy. Gone.
Yeah.
Are you there? Are you a religious person yourself?
Yes, I am.
So your analysis is my grandfather's tailor shop. The picture I have that's coming out of my book in December called Train Tracks, one of the pictures is of the tailor, the grandfather who came over from Europe. He left the family behind. He earned enough money to send for them one at a time. They came here legally. They waited in line to become citizens. He owned his little store. It's truly the American dream. The man comes here with nothing, almost nothing, and within a few years he owns his own tailor shop on this street of Manhattan, and he's proudly shown standing in front of the store. Only in America could something like this happen. That's why we all love this country, and that's why we are faced with the first communist regime under Obama, where he is trying to kill private enterprise as rapidly as he can, which is why we all fight so hard to alert the people to what's going on with Obama and Holder and the others who are so anti-American that it smacks us right in the face. Thank you for the call. There's nothing more to be said. Hartford, Connecticut, on the molestation issue, I'll repeat it again. The Sandusky trial opened today. Oh, here's some new alien, the tattooed creature from another planet who killed a father and his two sons in San Francisco, and his rotten, stinking, verminous left-wing lawyers try to argue he was not the guy who killed them. Well, to me, this is not justice. The only justice for Ramos, who killed his father and his two sons, would be to have him thrown into the white supremacist ring and give the guards a day off in a local bar. But that's never going to happen. He'll have more protection than you have in your own household. Penn State molestation, were you molested as a boy? Did you hide it? How did it affect you? Hartford, Connecticut. Robert, you're on the Savage Nation.
I was molested when I was maybe about 20, 21. I went to a party. I had a beer. I was with two women. I mean, one woman. And she invited me to this party, and I went, had a couple of one beer, and then after that, I don't remember much. All I remember was being in their basement. There were two women, and I was molested that way. After it was done, I was...
Wait, let me back up. Hold it. How old were you?
I'm in my late 50s.
But how old were you when the women allegedly molested you?
21.
Well, what do you mean by molested? They had sex with you, or they beat you up?
Yes. Except
you're confusing the audience. You're 21 years old, you go in a basement, have a beer with women, and you have sex with them, and you call that molestation?
A woman invited me to a party. I went to this party, an outdoor party.
Yeah, but most guys would dream of that happening, and they wouldn't call it molestation. They'd say they had a party.
The only problem was, I was in and out, in and out. I just remember like snippets.
Sir, this is a family show. We can't use such graphic descriptions of what occurred in that basement.
All right, I understand.
I wanted to see if you were laughing, that's all. So, but why do you call it molestation? What did they do to you other than, let's say, have you all had pleasure with each other? What happened?
I didn't have pleasure, and it was against my will.
No, wait a minute. Did they tie you up?
No, but I don't. You see, Dr. Savage, I don't remember everything that happened. It's almost like you have snapshots of things happening.
No, I understand. We blank out some of these traumatic incidents in our life. I had things happen to me in the Bronx that I don't want to remember. Believe me, things happen to me from situations there that I sometimes come back. I try to repress them. That's why I'm asking you, because the Sandusky trial is going to blow the lid off this whole issue of the molestation of boys across America. I think it occurs far more frequently than we ever hear about, because boys are ashamed. They then become, even though they're the victim, they're ashamed of having been victimized, because if a boy says, I was molested by X, Y, and Z.
I felt.
You felt like a weakling?
I felt like I was violated. I felt like no one should know.
Okay, and did it affect you sexually for the rest of your life?
I don't think so, no.
All right, so you're a lucky one. You were injured but not scarred. I can't offer you any gifts. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Savage Nation, we're talking about a weird story. I have to admit it. It's something a little off the beaten path. We're also trying to get you an update on the explosion of the 135-foot yacht off the coast of New Jersey. As I said to you, the news reports are very spotty. It is a 1995 Lursen that was formerly called Xenia, X-E-N-I-A, for those of you who are in the yachting community. We'll try to get you updates on it because it's extremely unusual for mega yachts of this vintage to explode. Something really horrible happened there, and I'll see if we can get you more information. We're also talking about molestation because of the Sandusky trial that opened today, and I've raised a question that I've never heard in the media before, which is what makes my show the third. Nobody in radio can touch me, and here's the question. Were you molested as a boy? How did it affect you? And you know, where did it happen, and what have you done with this your whole life? I'd like to know about it, because I think you can get it off your chest. Maybe you can help other boys who are harboring this shame. Joanne in Sacramento, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Michael. And before I give you my theory, I want you to know that there are a group of us in Fairfax, yes, Fairfax and Marin County, who watch and who listen to your show.
Fairfax, California?
Yes.
The most retrograde city in the planet? The most anti-American town in a country?
Yes. And I come from the Bronx, and a lot of people around there also...
Well, you don't have to come from the Bronx to listen to me, but you live in the most anti-American town in the Bay Area.
I hear you, and you
Wait, I take it back. Maybe Bolinas is even more retrograde.
No, but Bolinas is much more... crazy, much more crazy. But
if anyone shows an American flag in your town, the police will arrest them. Tell me about the molestation and boy shame, Joanne.
Here is my theory.
I'm sorry. She dropped. What do you mean she dropped? How could you drop? What, is she on a cell phone? Okay, she dropped. It's like a weird day. Let's go to the next caller. Who's the best caller up there? Mark in Indianapolis. Let's hear about your molestation tragedy.
Well, let me just first say this to you, Michael. I'm 50 years old, okay? And this happened to me several times. Nothing that was close to it, but I was approached several times as a young guy, 12, 14 years old, this happened. And I can tell you that even it didn't get any further than it did. Fortunately, I was so freaked out. I'm even shaking telling you this. I took off running.
Look, I bet you not. You haven't talked about this to anyone, or have you?
Never.
Never.
I mean, my way.
See, I felt it by bringing up this show today, this topic, and because this is an anonymous forum, people could you know, unburden themselves. So you're saying the act never occurred. They tried to. Is that it?
That's it. They need to, I don't care if you're 15, 20, 30, anybody that does that to you, you need to go tell somebody and get these people off the street.
That's right. And I want any young boy listening to this show, I want you to listen very carefully. I'm talking to you like an uncle, and you're listening to this fellow Mark from Indianapolis. These are real grown men talking to you, boys. If anybody touches you inappropriately or gives you a weird vibration in an area we're talking about, don't hide it, no matter what they say to you. They're going to threaten you and say that they're going to hurt your mother, they're going to hurt your father, they're going to hurt you if you tell. Don't believe them. You tell your father, you tell your mother, you tell the police if you have to, and you get that person off the streets. That's all I can tell you. It is one of the worst things that could ever be done to a child, because that child is permanently injured. That child's innocence is destroyed, and that child walks around with a permanent wound as a result of that molestation. And so you never hide that, because you didn't do anything to invite it. They'll make you think you did. They'll make you think you wanted them to do this to you, but you didn't want it done to you. These are evil, evil, evil men who do things like this. They are as bad as they come, and they're all cowards. Make no mistake about it. This crime must be punished. So if you want to confess without any names, it's anonymous. You heard that man call. He had told my screen he had been molested in an alley. And I think he froze up when he got to the microphone. Am I right, Beowulf? I think that's what happened. Right, and I think he got so appalled by his own confession that he dummied up, as it was, at the end. This is one of the most unreported areas of crime in the United States of America. We hear about girls molested, terrible thing. But now it's time to blow the lid off how many boys have and are molested in this country and by whom. Don't protect those people. Call the Savage Nation. We'll have the latest news for you on all of the topics, political and otherwise, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
So look, this is a kind of weird subject. I mean, it's not the normal fare of a talk show in an election season, but as I say, if there's news, we'll talk about it. And we may have the governor on tomorrow, who is suing Eric Holder, who's over the issue of purging the voter rolls in Florida of illegal aliens. As you well know, the Obama administration needs every illegal alien vote they can get to hold on to their illegitimate presidency. Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So we'll get to that as the week emerges. But this issue of the Sandusky trial triggered this thinking in me of the molestation of boys. I knew two boys who were molested as children who told nobody. Well, they didn't tell nobody. They didn't tell. They tried to tell people, but no one believed them. I knew one kid. He'll remain anonymous. I think he listens to me in New York. He was molested repeatedly by his dentist. Now, I'm not accusing dentists, but I went to the dentist today, by the way. I wasn't molested, but I guess maybe that's what I'm thinking about. It was a horrible experience. I mean, you can't call cleaning your teeth getting molested. But he would go, little boy now, and this dentist did things to him. He would come home and tell his mother, Mommy, Dr. G did something to me. And she'd say, oh, Bobby, Dr. G is a nice man. He wouldn't do that to you. The kid said, Mommy, he did it to me. He hurt me. Oh, no, she would say, Joey, he wouldn't do that to you. He's a doctor. This poor kid was so screwed up from this his whole life, because the one person he trusted more than anyone on earth was his mother. The second person he probably trusted more than anyone in his life were his doctors, and both of them said he was crazy. One molested him, and the other said he wasn't molested. You know what that does to a child's mind? The other boy, who I haven't been in touch with either for 20 years, was also screwed up his entire life because a rabbi molested him repeatedly when he was young. He told nobody about it except the teenage friends of his many years later. You know, you hear about priests and molestation, but most of the other religions have a cult-like silence around molestation. You may not know this. This occurs far more frequently than you may imagine. We heard about Catholic priests and molestation. It's horrible. But you haven't heard anything from any of the other religions. But I can guarantee you, knowing the human condition, it occurs amongst Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists, Zoroastrians, weathermen, you name it, okay? So if you want to talk about it and get it off your chest, call the show, 1-800-449-8255. Were you molested as a boy? Have you been carrying it around all your life? What has it done to you, etc.? Because I think it's a very important story. If not, okay. Now, here's a caller who's 82 years old, Joseph in Santa Maria. I don't know the man, but he's calling this show for obvious reasons. Joseph, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Hi. You were molested as a child?
Yes, when I was 10 years old.
Now, how many people have you told about this terrible thing?
I have never, in all these years, I've never told anybody about it till right now.
You see, and you're 82 years old, and you know, Joseph, this is what's important. People don't realize that just because you get older, they think you outgrow these things. Have you outgrown the pain?
No.
Would you please tell the audience, or maybe we can save another boy from 70 years of horror, who did this to you?
A stranger on the street followed me out of a candy store. And then he offered me a little gift, like a pocket knife, if he could do some things to me. Mm. And halfway through this, I was in a panic. You know, when you're 10 years old, you're not really reasonable. And this is a big man that I never knew.
Yes, yes.
And I remember I told him that my grandfather was going to come down the street any moment. And we were by a corner of an alley, and he wanted to take me down the alley. And I broke loose and ran home.
Oh my God! You're lucky. You're lucky. It's lucky you ran away, huh?
Yeah, I was, because he could have cut off my manliness and everything else.
Oh my God! These people are so bad. Some of them are so sick. Of course, this crime went unpunished.
Yeah, and the worst thing, as I look back on it, is that I should have told somebody so that they could have got this man, because I'm sure he must have done it to other people.
But Joseph, I'm more interested in you. How did it affect you all these decades, bearing with this secret and this? Did you have shame as a result of this?
Yeah, and it made me a very secretive kind of person. It was a secret I carried, and it affected other things that I did just by being. I became very private about my whole life.
Hmm. Isn't that terrible? And so, what motivated you to call this show today and kind of get it off your chest? Let's put it that way.
When you were talking earlier in the show, I just realized that I had to say something about it, and it's not fair that other people should have to go through hell because of something like somebody does to somebody.
Let it go at that, Joseph. I don't want to pry any further, but all I can say is thank God that you had an opportunity at this stage of your life to at least get it off your chest totally anonymously. Thank you, Joseph. I mean, really, I was tearing up from this call. You imagine an 82-year-old man has carried this around for 72 years, ashamed that a grown man molested him, thinking he did something wrong, and what it did to his whole life. Think about this. Think about what the Sandusky trial means to America. Think about what it means to the future of boys in this country who are silent victims and have been for a long time. As I say, if a girl is molested, she usually tells somebody. And, of course, the perpetrator should be punished to the full extent of the law. This is not to cause, a witch hunt now. There's an awful lot of false accusations out there as well. I don't want to go into that, the whole trial thing of the fake trials of people with the magic rooms that didn't exist, what they did to people in the school world. But I am talking about upfront real stories from America, and you just had one on the Savage Nation. If you'd like to talk about were you molested as a child, as a boy now? Who did it to you? How has it affected your everyday life? And I want to repeat again, the reason I'm doing this is because a lot of families have their children listen to this show because they know this show is sort of like Uncle Savage, or, it's like the old Dutch uncle in the family that doesn't exist anymore. And they figure it's not going to hurt a child to hear reality. I want the little children listening to this show to hear me. If somebody touches you inappropriately or does something to you like that, no matter what they do, no matter how they threaten you, you get away from them. If you have to kick them, if you have to punch them, if you have to bite them, that's what you do. You kick, you punch, you bite, you scream. No matter what they do, bite them, kick them, and run as fast as you can and go to a cop, go to a store, go anywhere you can. Of course, in America today, I don't know who'll come to your help anymore in this country. But that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. 1-800-449-8255. We're touching on a raw nerve here. I can just sense this. I can just sense that this show will be one that people will remember for years, as they remember some of my shows more than others. I have a suspicion this is going to be one of those shows. Pennsylvania, Tyler, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, I just want to tell you that Jerry Sandusky, the Center County District Attorney, came up missing about 7 years ago, and it had to do with this whole Sandusky thing now coming up.
Yeah, I heard he disappeared. They found his laptop, and he disappeared, the DA, right?
He did, Mike, and every magistrate that set Sandusky's bail, they all contributed to the his charity, and, you know, they left him go and be
free. Oh, God, don't tell me this was like a giant ring in Pennsylvania.
It was, Mike, and it's the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is judicially corrupt, and it's broke, and all the taxpayers are paying for the circus going on.
Well, I know about Pennsylvania politics a little bit more than people may imagine. Pennsylvania is a has a high degree of, let us say, Chicago-like politics in it, more so than most states. Let's put it to you that way. Thanks for the call. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's take the next quick caller here. Phoenix, Arizona. John, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I did go through a lot of molestation abuse as a kid. It was by three different people at three different stages of my life.
And let's start. Have you talked about it with a therapist or told others?
Yes, I have. I've actually done a lot of work around this. I've actually done my best to help other people out in the same situation.
Well, how do you help people with this? What do? First, you get them to admit it happened.
Well, the biggest part of it, like you said, is you've got to be able to get this stuff out. You can't keep it bottled up on the inside. It'll just eat you alive if you do.
Well, let me ask you something. Here's an interesting question. What if a guy calls a show and says, look, 50 years ago I was molested by an older cousin. I know he still lives somewhere in America, but I don't want to upset his family. He's a grown man now. He did it when he was a kid. He did it to me over and over again. He was an older cousin. Would you advise him to go confront that cousin, even though it's 50 years later?
No, I think what I've seen in my own personal life and working with other people who've been through this type of stuff, you have to learn to forgive the other person for what they did to you. As god-awful as it is, as god-awful what I went through, if you don't, you give that power person power over you still.
Mm. So this is a very Christian view of the world, and it's a beautiful thought. And only by forgiving can you heal? Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, that's what I've seen in my own personal life, Mike.
Well, I mean, the Old Testament would say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and the instinct would be to go out there and you know, damage that person as much as you can. But you're saying the opposite, aren't you?
Yeah, because I've seen that worked out in my own personal life. I've been able to forgive people of a god-awful thing they did to me. It actually helps to free me from a lot of the pain that I personally have gone through because of all this over all these years.
Wait, you mean by forgiving them, you're relieved of your pain?
To a certain extent, kind of like you never really fully overcome it. You kind of just learn how to deal with it.
But did it affect you as a man? Were you able to have a relationship? Were you able to have children? Were you a father?
No, I'm still hoping to become a father.
Yeah, but how old are you now?
I'm 36.
Oh, you're a young man. Okay, I mean, it's not like your life is behind you. Your life is still way before you.
Exactly.
That's very intriguing. Okay, John, thanks for sharing the horrors of this story. I'm not looking to do, you know, a salacious deal here. I'm not Nancy Grace looking like a ghoul to see if I can pluck out some horror story. I'm really more interested in the psychological aspects of the story than anything else. And coming up next is a caller from Houston, Texas, who is a hypnotherapist who deals with molestation, especially of boys. I want to hear it. I'll be right back.
Savage. We'll be right back.
If you would rather talk about the news, go ahead. On the other hand, if you just joined the show, I think this is a groundbreaking program. I have not seen this done anywhere, and I think it's important. In the next hour, we'll continue. If you were a boy, molested as a boy, and you've carried it around all your life, I'd like you to call the show, because it's one of the most painful episodes in a person's life. Never talked about, because boys usually don't want to admit that anything like this happened. In that, they're seen as weaklings in their own mind, etc. And that's a terrible shame. But nevertheless, that's one story. There are some others I want to touch on in the next hour, such as the last episode of Mad Men, which I thought stank. The writing was awful. It was not believable. It was a terrible finale. They went out with a whimper, not a bang. And the one before it was written by much smarter writers. So we can do that. Magic City, I don't know where that's gone. I think that's over with for the year. I don't know what to look forward to anymore. It's just a long, hot summer. Houston, Texas. Michael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, pleased to be with you, Michael. Yes, I do hypnotherapy, and I deal with this issue on almost an epidemic basis, male and female.
Okay, doctor, tell us, if you're a doctor, and if you're not, it's fine. You try to get them to talk about their memories as a hypnotherapist, right?
Right, and the conscious mind has so much resistance to that, so you need to get to where the emotions are. And the centerpiece of what we do is forgiveness.
Is that so? Just as the last caller said, it's not vengeance.
No. Vengeance will only produce more hatred and anger.
Isn't that something? So the old adage of forgive and forget is still the best medicine?
Absolutely, because if you don't forgive, you're going to carry the pain, and if you remember, you will not let it happen again.
Well, let me ask you this, though. What about getting even with those who did it, that one who did it to you, or those who hurt you? You don't feel it's necessary then to confront them?
If you turn around and kill that person, you still wouldn't get the satisfaction. It would still be with you. The only way, and I've been doing this for 21 years, the only way a person is going to have resolution in their life is if they go to a qualified hypnotherapist. It'll happen quickly. It works with parts therapy and AR, age regression, and you must forgive. If it doesn't happen, you're going to have the pain.
So you take them through hypnotherapy back to the moment of the crime?
Yes, but it doesn't mean they're there. They may be in a TV or watch a TV, or they'll distance themselves from this. We did this at the police department all the time.
Amazing. Now, how does someone listening to this show, Michael, who doesn't want to call the show but is listening carefully, how do they find someone in their neighborhood? You're in Texas. How would somebody in Florida, New York, or California find a licensed hypnotherapist who they can actually trust?
Well, they're not licensed. We're certified. I'm board certified, which is even a higher, or you're ratcheting up much higher. There's an organization referred to as National Guild of Hypnotists that will give you a referral to someone who knows what they're doing.
Now, a person should not just bury this, Michael, and forget it, walk around with it and just say it's over, forget about it?
No, but they must release the pain. And by using a gestalt method, they forgive the individual that's in front of them, even though they're not physically there.
So what about the theory of you should confront your attacker years later, even if you forgive them? What about that?
Well, that's where you're confronting them in gestalt.
You're saying don't confront them.
No, you confront them. They're in your mind, and you with gestalt, that you put them in a chair.
What if they were an uncle, for example, in your family, and the uncle's still alive, and you get the guy in therapy to say, Uncle John did this to me. He shouldn't go to Uncle John in the nursing home and say, you SOB you, what you did to me?
No, we're going to do this in your mind, but you do not want to go back into a toxic environment, Michael.
Whoa, that's interesting. You know why it's interesting, Michael? Because the same theory that you are applying applies to virtually all traumas, doesn't it?
You're absolutely right. That's what I like about your show. You're right.
Well, I mean, if a man comes to you and says, I had a business partnership. This guy was the most evil person on earth. He robbed from me. He ensnared me. He sued me. This went on for 10 years. I hate him. I'd like to see him and his whole family, blah, blah, blah. You would say forgive and forget?
Well, in hypnosis, we'd do that, yes. And they'd do the same thing with a man who has had an affair or his wife has had affairs, which goes on tremendously. Particularly with women, it's becoming rising higher than men's rates.
Now, Michael, how would people reach you? Because you'll be flooded after this. Is there any way they can contact you?
Yes, I've got a number of websites.
Okay, tell you what. Give us one. Fire away.
MindWellnessCenter.com.
Is that you, though?
Yes.
MindWellnessCenter.com?
Correct.
MindWellnessCenter.com. Beowulf, record it, because I know we're going to get inquiries now for weeks after. Michael, bless you. I'm going to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. It's the only gift I've got that I think is worth giving to someone as brilliant as you are, who does so much good for so many people. Altoona, Pennsylvania. Lee, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael.
You're a former child abuse prosecutor. What would you like to say, sir?
Well, back in the day, I was actually prosecuting child abuse back in the 80s when we were trying to develop, and it was very difficult to get boys from age 8 to 13 to come forward.
Yeah, because they felt they felt ashamed, right?
Exactly, and it's so difficult. I mean, if they're below 8, they'll tell you anything. But if they're over 8...
Oh, it's interesting. Below 8 because they have no control over that. I see.
And that's interesting. It was horrendous. But I was thankfully trained by our attorney general's office in trying to recognize this. And it's so pervasive. And the other thing was that I've had women come up to me that knew that I used to do this. And it's amazing because they would tell me, well, I was at a funeral for Uncle so-and-so. And they would say, well, you know, he molested me.
Uh-huh. We'll be right back to pick up on this topic and all the news of the day right here on the Savage Nation. Thank you, sir.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Talking about a very, very charged topic that's it's not political, it's psychological, but it's very emotional on the Savage Nation today, which is about the molestation of boys. And it was triggered in my mind by the Sandusky trial, which opened today. In passing and reading about it, I read that the molestation of boys is often hidden. Boys won't talk about it for fear that they'll be seen as a weakling, and they're ashamed. They take on the shame, and we are asking the audience to call the Savage Nation. If you were yourself molested, how has it affected your life? Did you tell anyone about it? I had a man call in the last hour, was 82 years old, who said he was molested at age 10, and he never talked about it until he called the show. And he was on the verge of tears, and I stopped it because I am not Nancy Grace. I'm not here to exploit you. I'm here to save another child from 70 years of pain. So what is the proper attitude towards this kind of wound, this kind of damage? Is it the Old Testament version? You know what the Old Testament says about things like these? Because it's a very, very harsh judgment, the Old Testament, and I will read it to you. And if men strive together and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart, yet no harm follow, he shall be surely fined according as the woman's husband shall lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if any harm follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. If you wanted to know where the phrase an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth comes from, as usual, it comes from the great Hebrew Bible. This is from Exodus number 22, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But it's derived in the discussion, the law, discussing in hurting a woman who was pregnant. That's where an eye for an eye and a tooth came from. It's very interesting. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about this. And so if we talk about this and then we go to the Christian Bible, what do the Christians say? Christians would say turn the other cheek. In other words, forgive and forget. That's what it would say. And it's very interesting how people react to pain or to injury to themselves. And I think the most evolved answer in most cases is to forgive and forget. But is that the only answer? Is that emotionally the right answer? Is it the right answer for everyone? Or is there a part of us that is still quite primitive that would like to seek vengeance or justice? We can't, of course, seek it through our own hands. You know, you go back in years in this country. You take a movie like The Godfather, written by Mario Puzo, one of the most unrecognized great novelists of our time, who wrote The Godfather books. He was sort of like the Maupassant of our time, but, you know, you don't know that, but he was an amazing storyteller. But why would the movie The Godfather have captured such a nerve in this country, and still does, for so many decades? Because we see that the law is corrupt. We see that judges are easily, either they're blind or they're corrupt. We see that, unfortunately, the legal profession is of no value to us whatsoever. Basically, they churn cases because of the system in most cases, simply to make money. We all know this. There is no justice. So we all dream of knowing a Don Corleone. All of us have dreamed of having some powerful but just mafia-like figure in our life who, after the courts screw us, we go to the Don Corleone and we get an audience with him at his daughter's wedding, and we say, Don, here is what happened to me. Here's what I want you to do. And Don, in his wisdom, like Solomon himself, says, no, we will not hurt that man in the way you want him to be hurt, but we're going to do, and he calls in Fat Clemenza, and Fat Clemenza says, get me some reliable people, good people who won't go too far, like there's really such a person like that. Never existed. Maybe Solomon himself was able to control himself and met out justice that was just. I doubt it. But nevertheless, how do we deal with the issue of child molestation is the question in this country. And that's an answer that I have no answer for you. But I think that the callers, in part, are answering the question by telling us that forgiveness seems to be the healing. Hatred seems to be the death of them. I'd like to hear more about it. If you were molested as a child now, I'd like to hear the story, and I'd like to hear especially how you have dealt with it. And most interest to me, maybe the other listeners, is did it affect your life? Did it affect your life, and how? How did this pain, this injury to you affect you? Let's begin on the East Coast, New York City, WOR. Bob, go ahead, please. Tell us your story.
Yes, Michael, how you doing? You know, it. This is really a topic that is really important to be brought out. You know, it really brought back memories. When I was about 10 years old, which was about 54 years ago, I was with a buddy. We always hung out together. He said to me, hey, Bobby, let's... there's this guy I met. He's a nice guy. He's an older guy. He's got this big Cadillac. And this guy was even involved in politics. And he says, you know, he'll take us for ice cream or whatever. I said, oh, fine. You know, I was 10 years old, mm-hmm. you know, growing up in the city. And went with the guy. You know, he took us. We got an ice cream float or whatever. And then we went back. He had an apartment with either his aunt or his sister or somebody. Mm-hmm. He wasn't married, I don't think. And mm-hmm. he said, come on, guys, we'll watch TV. Mm-hmm. Went into his bedroom. He had an old-fashioned black and white. And he's in the middle. My buddy Mike was on one side. I was on the other side. All of a sudden, you know, I feel the guy, like, you know, grabbing my leg and stuff, and I'm looking at my buddy Mike, and then he started, you know, putting his hands on me in a place that he shouldn't have been. And,
right.
And I said to my buddy, I said, Mikey, what's going on? What's going on?
Yeah.
And the guy got all upset. He goes, oh, don't yell. I said, look, I'm getting out of here. I said, that's it. I'm getting out of here. And I just left. But, you know, Michael, it was like I felt not only betrayed by this person that I really didn't even know, but also my buddy, I'm wondering if he knew about, you know, this guy having a problem this way. And I really felt...
So what, you feel like you betrayed your friend by leaving him there with the molester?
You know, I really, you know, it was a long time ago, Michael. I think we both left. I think he came with me and we both just took off. We went home.
But you're not sure. By what you just told me, you think you left. First you said you left and your friend stayed there. Now you say you think your friend went with you, so it's a little foggy, isn't it?
Well, it is a little foggy, but what I said is, I said, Mikey, I'm getting out of here, but I think we both left together.
Did this guy ever bother you or your friend again?
No.
And was this your only brush with a pervert?
No, that's the only time that I really, anybody, you know, the same sex ever put their hands on me, you know, and that was it. But so I just moved on with my life, you know. I was married, of course. I'm divorced now, but that's something else.
Well, it wasn't because of this incident, I'm sure. So nothing really happened. It almost happened, but you had the brains to get out of there.
Well, absolutely. I knew it was wrong, Michael. I knew, you know, I was brought up a Catholic. And
well, not today. They would tell you that it's perfectly fine.
It wasn't natural, and I just wanted to get out. And I said, I'm out of here. That's it. I'm gone.
But did you ever tell anyone about it?
You know, I believe I told my wife. When I was, you know, when we were courting, you know.
All right, but it's not like an issue that plagued you because nothing really happened in essence.
You know, Michael, the thing that I found interesting was, you know, like I said, I felt not only betrayed by this older gentleman that he could take advantage of a 10-year-old, and then also my buddy, Mike, that I'm thinking, geez, did he know this guy had this, you know, this problem or whatever. It just made me look at my
buddy. Well, one last thing, Bob. This guy who did it to you, what kind of guy was he?
He had a big Cadillac. He was involved in politics, Michael. I forget exactly. You know, I grew up in the Bronx, so I actually forget.
He wasn't a dentist, was he?
No, he was a politician.
I'm joking. No, I'm joking. Could have been the same guy who hurt my friend. I don't know if he had a Cadillac. All right, thank you for the call. Thank God this was a close call, but he wasn't really hurt. If you'd like to talk about this or any other topic, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I doubt that I'll do this again at this time. It's a one-off show. I'm motivated by the Sandusky trial. I'm motivated by the statement I read in reading about it, that boys never talk about it or rarely talk about it for fear that they're dirty, that they're weak, they're ashamed of themselves, and they don't confront the person who did it, and they don't want to ever talk about it. If you want to do it, this is your shot. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about the molestation of boys and the fact that it's rarely, if ever, talked about. You can't call because there are no open lines. You can try, I guess. But let's just take a couple of more calls about it. I also want to talk about some popular culture, like the last episode of Mad Men, which was a stinker of the worst order. The next to last was great. It was written by two brilliant people. I think it's a husband and wife team. Whoever wrote the last episode should be fired. If you watched Mad Men, I mean, Don Draper, John Hamm and Peggy Olson, Elizabeth Moss, by chance meeting in a movie theater? Insane. Never happened. Impossible. Rubbish. The only good scene was the conductor on the train punching that snot nose in the mouth. I wish conductors could do that today to people who deserve it. I actually laughed with relief. He was like a tough Irish conductor, and this smart aleck guy with the gray flannel suit mouths off to him and says, "This is not your train. It's my train. You work for me." And the guy punches him in the nose. I love that scene because that's what should go on today more often. Unfortunately, we're not living in a real world anymore. Everything's controlled by what the lawyers might do, you know, not by what men really should be doing, in my opinion. The Godfather, where is he now that we need him? Bob in New York, WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage. How are you? I was molested by a relative when I was 3 years old.
3 years old. Okay, let's start with who did it to you.
Excuse me?
Who did it to you?
A cousin. It was in the country, and we were in a tent, and things happened. I didn't remember it until recently, and I'm in my 50s, and...
But, Bob, you know, boys...
He was 20, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so 10. Sorry. Oh, he was a real predator.
I've never spoken to anyone about this, and I think I'm doing it now just to get it off my chest and sort of anonymously.
What do you mean, on the radio? This is the first time you've ever talked about this in your whole life?
And it's the first time I've ever called a radio station, and I listen to you all the time. But
well, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but the fact of the matter is I hope this is good for you. At the end of the day, I don't want you to feel like someone knows you and they're going to say, oh, that was Mac and he did it. You say on the screen that it destroyed your ability to have relationships. How so, Bob?
I'm incapable, I think, of having a long-term relationship with anybody.
Because you distrust people, correct?
You know what? It's hard to really express what it is, but I think that's what it is. I know.
I believe you. I absolutely believe that it destroys a person's ability to ever bond with another person in a more fundamental way. Yes, I agree with you 100%. Yes, you can blame your rotten, stinking cousin. May he rot in hell.
You know what? I've listened. You know, forgiveness. Maybe I don't know what I would. I never confronted this person, and I don't know if I will, but, you know, I don't feel like forgiving him.
Is he alive, Bob?
Yes. Yes, he's alive.
Well, there you go. Sometimes I bet you thought of calling him up and saying, do you know what you did to me?
Well, I thought about writing a letter anyway, not calling, but writing a letter. So.
Yes, but the therapist said that the best thing is to just put it behind you, and you don't agree with that.
Well, I mean, I don't know how I can put it behind me. It's something that's...
Right. I don't know either. How can you put it behind you? I mean, you're telling me that this guy traumatized you. You're pretty much your whole life. How can you just put that behind you is what you're asking.
I think it's more than fiddling around. And also, my self-esteem. I mean, I'm a professional. I mean, I've had the chance to really succeed financially in other ways, but I don't. And I think
so. What you feel dirty, and you don't feel that you are worthy of success.
I think that's what it is. I really do.
Right, you feel dirty. You feel like a dirty little boy. You did something bad. You don't deserve the good things in life.
You know what? In the beginning, I thought, you know, maybe it's my fault. I came across the wrong way. But I mean, 3 years old. And older.
Yeah, and see, there you go. 3 years old, you were blaming yourself. You came on to him. See, that's how these predators work.
Yeah, well...
Well, you know what? I'm not so sure the forgive and forget part is the right way either. Truthfully, I'm not so sure, Bob. Myself, I'm more of the eye for the eye guy. But okay, what can you do? Everyone has a different way of looking at the world. And some wounds are so deep, there's almost no dealing with them. But, Bob, I'm going to leave you with one thing positive, because we'll probably never talk again, and I doubt that I'll ever do a show like this again. I am an amateur student of psychology. My profession is in another area. But I read all of Freud, all of Jung, all of Adler, and I did it over, you know, repeatedly. Freud wrote something I'll never forget, which is that if you awaken one day and find out that you only have one arm and one leg, he said, then crawl on one arm and one leg. That's the greatest thing I've ever read in the world of psychology. He's not telling you you're going to heal and have another arm and another leg. He's telling you just work with what you have and move on.
Man, that's good advice.
That's what you do. That's what you do, right? You get up and you schlep through the day the best you can. And you can't keep going back to that tent. Am I right?
You know what? I'm not going, but you know what? Sometimes it's just ingrained in me. If I see a tent, I mean, you know, I'm there.
Kidding. What, if you go past the camping store, the smell of the canvas or whatever gets to you? Amazing.
Where that's what it is. It's not, I'm there.
Oh, my God. Well, maybe you should see a hypnotherapist, but most of them are whack jobs. I mean, the truth is, you don't know who you're going to put your mind in the hands of some stranger. You don't know. They're like wackadoodles. You don't know who they are. I mean, with all due respect to the guy who called, who's certified, in New York, you could find the hypnotherapist at the local barbershop. All right, man. Bob, hang in there. Crawl around on that one arm and leg. They're probably stronger than two arms and two legs.
Savage.
This
is a very odd show, I got to admit it. I mean, the truth is, radio is pure intuition. At a certain point, you're going to say, oh, are people interested in this? I'm getting callers that you never expect. I have to assume that people who are listening are interested or thinking about their own life, and most, of course, won't call. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to come to certain terms with traumas in your life, whatever they may be, whether it was the molestation that we're talking about, the death of a parent when you were young, who knows what, polio, whatever happened. If you hate what happened to you and you resent it, it's going to poison you for your whole life. And at the end of the day, you got to understand fortune goes with misfortune. Bad things follow good things. And that only foolish people dread misfortune and expect only good fortune. I mean, I would say to you that if you want enlightenment, you have to understand that fortune goes with misfortune. Bad things follow good things. And bad fortune and good fortune follow each other. And then you'll be an enlightened person. And I'm not a guru, but I'm telling you that that's the way to look at these things. It's all, you know, it's the two sides of a coin. It's the good and the bad. They're on the same coin. You want to get rid of the bad side of the coin, you're going to lose the coin altogether. You want the goddess of wealth to live with you? Well, the fact of the matter is that the goddess of poverty is living with her as well. It's her twin sister. The goddess of poverty, the goddess of wealth are sisters. And in heaven, the psychological heaven, there's an agreement that they don't live separately. You chase out the goddess of poverty, inevitably you're going to chase out the goddess of wealth. You chase out the ugly woman, the other beautiful woman will disappear shortly thereafter. Now, of course, it's metaphorical what I'm talking about. And this would maybe be better in a setting of a ranch where Guru Savage is giving you advice on life. But okay, so it's talk radio. This came up. But there's a whole other side to me that I rarely exhibit on the radio, that I am either it's emerging in me as I get older, or I'm thinking about moving into it and getting into that sphere where we sit and talk in large groups, because I think people need this right now. And I don't think they're getting it from the mass media. They're not getting what they need. Sir, we all get entertainment from the mass media, okay. We get titillation from the news, very little information. We get anger from the news. One side, the other side, is Obama as bad as they say or worse? Is Romney a salvation or is he nothing? He's an empty suit. We don't know. I mean, people don't really know. You know, I could ask you questions about that from today until the election. I'd get every answer under the sun. And you'd listen, but you wouldn't be that interested. So if I come up with more fundamental questions such as, were you molested as a young boy? How has it affected you? And I'm getting guys calling who said, A, I've never called a radio show, and B, I never told anybody. I got to tell you, intuitively, I think this is a fabulous topic. Fabulous because it may allow young guys listening to this show to unburden themselves of this shame that they had nothing to do with. Let's say a guy is 20 listening to this show, and he was molested when he was 10. And it's 10 years later, he thinks he's sick, he thinks he's dirty, he doesn't know why. And then he comes back all the time to when his cousin Ralph touched him. He's listening to this show, and he says, you know what, I'm not alone. I'm going to try and talk about this with somebody. He doesn't know who to go to. Maybe he can have 50 good years ahead of him instead of 50 more years of hell. How's that? Does that work for you? And I don't care who the guy is. You can show me the toughest man walking the earth, all the muscles in the world, the best head of hair, the best smile, the best teeth. Inside, something is eating at him. In fact, the bigger the muscle, the smaller the bustle. Usually the guy with the biggest muscles has the deepest scars inside. The guy, I remember when I was a kid, and I just, you want to hear a funny story? I'm just drifting around a little bit. I was a very early attendee at a weightlifting gym when I was a kid. I was a skinny kid. I wanted to build myself up. I wanted to learn how to fight, so I did. So the fact is, I went to the American Health Studios almost every day in Jamaica High School. It was a beautiful, like, modern gym. And before then, it was like the Weider gym, you know, with barbells and a mat and the old gruff guys that looked like Bela Lugosi, basically, with dirty shorts. This place had mirrors and it had stainless steel gym equipment. And protein pills, and I would go. It was like a religion, the way people go to gyms today. And I would work out. But I remember there was a time as I was getting a little stronger and I started to wear shirts to show my muscles in high school. It's funny. It's all coming back to me because I'm writing this book, Train Tracks, and I have to put it to rest, and I'm digging stuff up from my childhood that I've long forgotten, you know. So I remember a girl in high school, God bless her. I don't know what she became, whether she's a therapist or a radical feminist or both. She was a good friend of mine, one of the group. In those days, we had girlfriends that were just girls who were friends. And, you know, we hung around in groups and we all talked. We were a very intelligent group of people. We joked around, but the insights, let's put it to you that way. A lot of these girls were so insightful, it was amazing. Out of nowhere, she snapped like a Russian ant. Somehow, she said, all weightlifters are insecure. It hit me like somebody put a knife across my chest and scarred me. Because she was right. And I went to that gym, and I started looking around at the guys. And the guys who had strutted around the most with the biggest muscles, with the best biceps, triceps, diceps, biceps, myceps, yourceps, biceps, yourceps, aceps, were usually... He was one of the teachers in the gym. Not a tall guy, but he was built like an Adonis. Huge muscles. Now, I was a skinny kid, so he used to try to pick on me. I'll never forget, he tried to wrestle me once in front of everybody. He's saying he tried to, like, you know, muscle me around. And in some reason, I had some intuitive skills. I escaped his grip. He wound up on his behind, rolling on the mat. I turned around in astonishment. There was Al with shock in his eyes. I did some intuitive escape maneuver and also whatever. And there was Al on his butt, rolling around with fear in his eyes, like he picked on the wrong kid, and boy, did he lose face. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Now, what is the motto of the story? Who knows what the point of the story is? I'm telling you a little bit here, a little bit there. Well, I'll tell you another story, and not about molestation. I'll show you how kids are affected in life. And, you know, this is an interesting tale about me in a river. But I don't know that I want to tell it right now, truthfully, because it has nothing to do with sex nor molestation. Let me be clear about it. It has to do with the inability to really trust anyone as a result of an incident on a river that I think I'm going to reserve for Train Tracks rather than tell it on the radio for various and sundry reasons. I don't want to talk about it right now. Okay? 1-800-449-8255. So let's ask this question now. Do you think the best way to deal with a molestation case such as this, if you're the person who was molested, is through forgiveness or confrontation and vengeance? Would you use the godfather if you could reach a godfather and have that person treated the way you were treated as a child? Or should you forgive and forget, as some have said today on the Savage Nation? I think that's an intriguing question. New York, Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Savage.
Hello.
I'm calling that I was molested as a very young child. I must have been about 4 or 5 years old.
Yes.
It was done by a next-door neighbor. And
now,
your question would like revenge and a confrontation with that person.
You would. You to this day would like to see him paid back.
Yes.
Now, Steve, you're an older man, I take it, correct?
51 years old, Dr. Savage.
Have you talked about this with anyone?
Just a therapist in the past.
And what did the therapist say to you to do?
Oh, it was so long ago that I don't even remember, Dr. Savage.
Did it affect you in a negative way? Do you feel
that
you...
I think it destroyed...
Hello, Steve, are you there?
Yes. It's possible. That's what I feel.
And but you said something that I didn't say. You said...
Well, I feel I could have maybe my life would have turned out differently. Maybe I wouldn't have been gay. Maybe I would have been married with children today.
And you regret the no family.
Of course.
Interesting. Well, you say, of course. Not everyone would say that. I mean, today everyone would say that it's a perfectly fine lifestyle. They don't care about a family.
No. I feel it's a lonely lifestyle.
But, Steve, let me explain something to you so you don't feel that you lost. You know, I'm not telling you what to think. I think everybody is lonely, Steve. I want you to understand that you are living in a box that you think you're the only one walking around in that loneliness. It's actually the state of most human beings, Steve. You got to understand, almost everybody you meet on the street is as lonely as you are, if not more lonely, only they don't know it. Okay, most of them don't even know it, but you're living in New York City, aren't you?
Reach Brooklyn.
Well, are you living in New York City? Millions of people walking around. You think that you're the only one who walks around in that box, that well of loneliness?
Sure, like empty barrels.
Well, yes, they're all wanting something. They're all empty. They're all looking for something that they can't find. What is every story that we ever watch or read about? It's a man seeking happiness. And when he achieves that happiness, what's the first thing he wants? He wants more happiness, correct?
True.
Okay. So then he gets more happiness, and what does he get after he gets the more happiness? He wants more happiness. Can a man have endless happinesses?
No.
No. So you have to lead yourself to the point of understanding that that's the human condition. The human condition is one of we are unknown creatures of unknown origin. We are all fallen angels. We are all craving something that we don't know if it even exists, but that's what makes us human. And the loneliness is part of that impetus, Steve, to go forward in life and fill it with things. Because if you didn't feel that loneliness, I'm sure that many of the things you've done in your life that were good would never have been done. Is that correct?
True.
I mean, have you done positive things in your life?
Oh, Dr. Savage, I walk around like a lost soul. No.
Well, all right. So maybe today is the first day of the beginning of your life, as they say. Maybe you can do something with the kindness in your soul. You sound like a very kind man.
Station. I blew through a very large inheritance on sex and pornography when I was younger. And I don't know.
So you have nothing but regrets now is all you have.
I was addicted to sexual underground sex things.
Well, okay, you were really traumatized and you really were messed up as a kid. And it really did screw your life up. There's no question about it. So this person who did it to you, he's still living?
Yes, I understand that he's a big banker and he lives on Park Avenue and he has two children.
Oh, you even know who the molester is, Steve. This is very intriguing. Well, has the statute of limitations run out? You can't prove it, of course.
Of course.
Hmm. Well, Steve, I'm going to give you will you do some? This is not funny. I'm going to give you an assignment. If you'll follow my advice, I can guarantee you in 1 week you'll feel better. You ready?
Sure.
See, here it is. It costs you nothing. Take a pen, typewriter, I don't care what, a keyboard. Why don't you write out the story of what would happen if a man like Steve could confront the man who molested him at the age you are and the age he is? How would the confrontation take place? What would the justice be? And tell me in the story and make it a short story. It doesn't have to be artistic. Just tell it the way you would, like in your dream world, Steve. How would Steve confront this banker? What would happen and what would the justice be? Would you be willing to try that?
Yeah, sure.
All right. There you go. There you go. Give us if you want, call in a week and read us the story. Well, how do you like that? How do you like that? Michael Savage, professional talk show host, takes your calls on a topic like this. And, you know, it's a sad topic. You know, that gentleman, Steve, you could feel the sadness coming through the airwaves. You could feel it through the electrons. And the beauty of radio is this. It's such an art form if it's done right, and so boring if it's done wrong. The fact of the matter is, what is radio? What is talk radio? You think about it. It's the campfire. We're still sitting around the fire. We're Neolithic. We're talking. There's no acting. There's no costumes. There's no music. There's no lighting. There's no directing. There's no Martin Scorsese. It's Michael Savage, his mind and his voice, his soul and his experiences, a microphone in the middle of nowhere in California, talking to millions of people across the country. How did I reach Steve? Why did Steve pick up the phone? Explain that miracle to me, and you'll understand why life is a miracle. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Where do I go from here? How do I follow my act? I mean, where do I go with this? You know, I keep asking people to call. It's painful in a way. I think a lot of people are getting upset by this show, by the way. I think they're getting sad listening to the show because they're hearing how much pain and suffering there is in the world. You know, the fact of the matter is being human is human. Being human means constant pain and constant suffering. That's what it really means. And the only question is how you deal with the suffering. That's what the whole story comes down to. You know, Guru Savage says life is suffering. It's only a matter of how you deal with the suffering. You know, there's 100 different ways to deal with it. You can deny it. You can embrace it. You can become a drunk to deaden it. You can become a drug addict to deaden it. You could become a religious individual to override it. You can cling obstinately to the fantasy that life is not suffering. I mean, whatever you want to do. But from the beginning of time, the world has been filled with a succession of calamities. A succession of calamities from the beginning of time. And we all have to face the facts of birth and death and illness and old age and death. So how do you live with such suffering? How do you live with suffering? What makes you go on? Is it the thought that you're going to get a raise? You're going to hit the lottery? You're going to build a business? And then what? I mean, then how does your life change at that point? Well, you have to go through it to see whether it does or it doesn't. You know, ask a rich man if possessions are happiness and see what he has to say if he's honest. If he's a showman, he'll tell you yes. In his private moments, he would probably tell you something else. On the other hand, ask a poor man if he's happy. He'll tell you the same thing. And as my mother said, rich or poor, it's good to have money. I mean, if you want to break it down to money, you could say money is the root of all evil. I don't need money. But if you can compare the suffering of humanity, and you could say you're going to suffer either way, but it's better to be have some wealth and be suffering, isn't it? Some comfort, because it does buy you comfort. Money can buy you distance between you and pain. Money can buy you privacy. Money can buy you that kind of social, that pillow between you and the world. Let's put it to you that way. You know, I can give you 100 different stories of what I'm talking about. I think you know it. Privacy, quiet, comfort. It's about all it can buy. It's not going to buy you eternal life. Take a look at the pharaohs and their tombs. Look at the Egyptian. The Egyptian pharaoh, the man with the world, slaves and lovers and anything he wanted. And what happens when he got old? The worst horror on earth. He had to leave it all behind. I can't believe it. I'm so powerful. I'm so rich, he said. I'm King Zilakakapulas. I cannot die. But King Zilakakapulas had to die. So what did the king do? The king said, I cannot die. I'm going to take with me my riches. I'm going to take with me my wives. And they made him throw the wives into the grave with them while they were alive. Same in China. You read about the ancient Chinese rulers. You look at them, they buried wives alive. That was their fate in life because they, in the next world, he thought he'd have the wives. So where does that leave you? The average guy gets up in the morning, has a toothache, doesn't feel good. His abs don't look good in the mirror. He ate too much cholesterol for dinner. He doesn't feel good. He has a slight migraine, an allergy attack. None of the medication is working. How does it affect you? You're talking about these things on talk radio. So you watch television, you watch the entertainment, the fantasy created by Spielberg, Hielberg, Mielberg, Dielberg, Halper, and Pielberg. You know, or you go out to the neighborhood bar and you have a few drinks and you forget it all. What are you going to do? Well, you go to church and you pray and you believe in the hereafter and you think you're going to get your reward then. Or if you're a complete nut, you go kill people and you think you're going to get 72 virgins. Some psychotic in the temple told you that if you kill an infidel, you're going to get 72 virgins for doing it. So this is life. This is why Henry Miller was always my favorite author for so many years, because at the end of the day, it's all a kaleidoscopic fantasy. Nevertheless, I hope this discussion has in some way helped the young boy deal with his pain. This is The Savage Nation. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's some great audio. This one is of ultra-liberal Senator Dianne Feinstein saying that she takes the president at face value as his version of the national security leak story seeps out.
I take the president at face value. The investigation has to be nonpartisan, it's got to be vigorous, and it's got to move ahead rapidly. I think, let me give you one example, and it's the example of the Yemeni bomb. Al-Asiri in Yemen has investigated a bomb, which has invented a bomb, which is non-metallic, which can go through magnetometers, which would take a very invasive body search to find. They had a person that was willing to help them who got one of these bombs in its entirety, and that bomb was most likely going to come into the United States one way or another. And so the CIA and others recovered the bomb. That was very closely held. By the time the bomb got to the United States, I would candidly doubt that it was closely held. It leaked, and the person that helped us, his life was put in jeopardy, and his family was put in jeopardy.
You also need to listen to the lie coming from former Green Job Czar Van Jones, saying that the individual mandate in Obamacare is the real conservative answer.
There is a question that has to be asked and answered, and this is not my area of expertise, but there's a question that has to be asked and answered here. Is this the right way for us to be doing our national security? Is this the best way? Does it meet the constitutional standards? Those kinds of questions, I think, need to be a part of this discussion. What we're going to do is we're going to skate past that, and it's going to become this whole thing of kind of political gotcha to figure out, well, you know, is this something that is being done, engineered by the president, by not the president? There are deeper issues here. This is a conservative answer. This is the market, the individual mandate is the market-based conservative answer that the Heritage Foundation came up with. Liberals and progressives like myself said, let's do single payer. Let's do the public option. They said, no. Obama, trying to be bipartisan, says, we're going to go with the Heritage Foundation's proposal. And now the Republican Party has become the pro-Mutra caucus.
But answer the Governor Republican Party's argument. It's not only the Republican Party. It's the public opinion now is completely turned against.
But partly because I think the Republican Party has taken a position that somehow their ideas, because Obama endorses them, are now socialism. And that they would rather have people to have no responsibility, dive bomb themselves into the emergency room, and have the government pay for it. That's a Republican position now.
Now, listen to the story of a New York school principal replacing God Bless the USA with a song from a teeny bopper singer.
One New York school principal has banned the kindergarten class from singing Lee Greenwood's famous song, God Bless the USA, at their graduation ceremony, their moving up ceremony, and instead is allowing the five-year-olds to sing Justin Bieber's Baby. Why? She says Greenwood's patriotic ballad is too grown up for the kids.
It was really upsetting. I didn't understand why, after they practiced it, she stopped them from practicing anymore and stopped them from singing the song.
And then when you heard Justin Bieber's song would replace it, what's your reaction?
It's confusing because Justin Bieber's song is for teenage love, and that's worse than singing God Bless the USA.
I think that this principal at the school may have trouble with the second line of that song.
Which is?
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. I understand that her religion prevents her from saluting the flag.
She's a Jehovah's Witness.
Well, you know, the deal is, if you don't salute the flag, there's a difference between allegiance and worship. I'm a Christian. She needs to talk to my pastor at the Brentwood Baptist Church, or maybe visit Bethesda or Walter Reed Medical Hospital, right, and talk to some of these soldiers who have American flag on their shoulder and why they served the United States.
Here's what's on michaelsavage.com, home of the Savage Nation, borders, language, culture. Obama's commerce secretary accused in hit-and-run crashes. He's a real green lawyer. I guess he's riding on methane fumes, and it got to his brain. Welcome to the newly created Socialist States of America. Trickle-down tyranny, the one book you need to stop Obama before we lose all of our constitutional rights. Trickle-down tyranny. From the Wash Times, study suggests risks from same-sex parenting. Really? How did that happen? How did such a study get funded? U.S. ousts Israel from counterterrorism forum. Thank you, Hillary Clinton. When will the Jews ever wake up to this cabal, this anti-Semitic cabal under Obama? When? Israel's Holocaust memorial vandalized with anti-Zionist graffiti. New York principal bans God Bless the USA, Proud to Be an American, and replaces it with the song of a teeny bopper singer. San Francisco, 60,000 Afghanis have flooded into the city for the free benefits of the city and the state of California into San Francisco. Just what we need. More Afghanis. Nigeria's Muslim bombers have killed 560 plus this year alone. Maybe they should be put on the Human Rights Council at the UN. California voters said no to public employee pensions in San Diego and San Jose. Did Obama get the message? Six-figure pensions soar for California school administrators. 100,000 plus annual pensions. Sickening. Denver, Colorado lowers tuition for non-citizen illegal aliens. The new rate, which will go into effect this fall, gives a lower tuition rate to non-citizens. Ain't America grand? Here's a little more news. Woman fends off intruder with paintball gun. Morons had a naked bike ride in San Francisco this weekend. They're stuck in the 60s. What else? Trickle-down tyranny is the blueprint for defeating Obama, says the conservative beacon. Or if you need a vacation, consider staying at Gitmo, Camp Delta, on Guantanamo, because there's cable, painting classes, DVDs, and a new soccer field for the Muslim detainees. Better than your vacation? Ain't America grand? All this and more right here on the Savage Nation. Wait, hang on before I go. I read an article on how the economy has affected consumers and that customer service and return policies are really now the main reasons people choose to do business with a company. Case in point, it's time to replace the blinds, shades, or shutters in your home. You take your measurements, you head off to the big home improvement store. Sure, they take your order. But when your window coverings arrive, you find out they don't fit because the schmuck from the plumbing department gave you bad advice. You trudge back and they tell you, sorry, no returns on custom orders. Not at blinds.com. Not at blinds.com. See, even if you mismeasure, which almost never happens, they'll remake it for free. Who does that? There are also over 100 real experts in-house happy to assist. Get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states. Plus, expert installers if you need one. That's blinds.com, where their prices absolutely crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com. I've used them for blinds. I love them. Blinds.com. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
I am Michael Savage, you've heard about. I'm the architect of all things conservative. Some may despise me on the right, even, because I say the things they dare not say, or I say the things they wish they had the brains to say. And of course, those on the left don't like what they hear, obviously, because it's true. The truth hurts. So I'll take your calls. So anything that's been on your mind, anything you want to talk about, any problems, questions, concerns, considerations, the Court of Savage Nation is now open for business. What do you want to talk about? I got the callers in there. Don't worry about it. So let's start with a caller. That's all. That's what you do. Let's start. Where's Larry in California? Larry in California, line 4. Larry in California, where are you calling from?
Apple Valley, Dr. Savage.
I'm sorry, Larry, where?
In Apple Valley. It's
Apple Valley. I'm sorry. Beautiful place.
It is. Just called today to give you some great news. When Trickle-Down Tyranny first came out, it was very difficult for me to get the books, but I bought 6.
Wow.
I bought 2 for my children. I've been in the private equity business for over 25 years as a president and CEO of lots of various companies, working for a number of different private mm-hmm. equities. But anyway, I had Mitt Romney's home address because of several conferences I attended in Boston that was brought on by Bain Capital. So I sent him a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, along with a nice letter that actually after I sent it, I reread it, that wasn't really so nice. It was closer to Dr. Savage writing it than me. But anyway, I'm telling him that this is a probably one of the best works that has been out, and I read lots and lots of books that I've seen in my lifetime, and I'm 65
wow.
years old.
And well, Larry, look, as a man in the equities business, you're not an ordinary person. And what's interesting is that if people listen to me, they can get the mistaken notion that I don't understand the economics or I don't understand. I do understand economics quite well. And I also know that there's a great place in the world for investment capital, obviously. However, it's the pirates that have invaded the investment world that I basically attack and call out in the book. Wouldn't you say that's true?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's good and bad in all types of business, as you know, Dr. Savage. But it was, I also sent two copies to Fox News, one to that knucklehead Bill O'Reilly, and told him that maybe in his next little fairy tale book that he writes, maybe he'll actually sit down and address something, get something out of the book, even if it's only one portion of the book that has to do with where we are. I mean, I told in the letter to Mr. Romney, I said, this is a roadmap for your election. Just follow it.
But Larry, look, he just quoted me when he said the Arab Spring is becoming the Arab Winter. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. All right. Well, it kind of makes sense why I dialed the phone so many times today, hoping to get to talk to you. And I sent another copy to Mort Krautheimer, who's my best guy that I like at Fox News, because I think is...
you got to understand, Fox News has a vendetta against me for reasons I actually don't understand. I did call O'Reilly Leprechaun in a book I wrote about 5 years ago. I think that that's the reason that they don't want me near him. He's a very vindictive man and never forgets anybody who ever insults him. He's very thin-skinned. And it's his loss, frankly. But, you know, I'm way past caring, Larry, about what the Leprechaun may or may not do. I want to thank you as a listener for, let's say, putting your money where your heart is. And I really do appreciate that. And I thank you again. That's all. That simple. You know, did it make me richer? Think about it. Let's say I make $3 a book on royalties, if that's. I made $18 on that. You don't understand something. I'm not looking to get rich with the book. I'm looking to change the course of this election with the book. Do you understand that carrying it around is like a billboard? You think about a powerful title. You know, Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, changed the world for the better. That one title woke the world up to ecology. That's what they called the environmental awareness of that time, ecology. What did the words Silent Spring connotate or connote? They had the connotation that if we didn't stop the use of various pesticides, one day we would wake up to a silent spring because all the birds would be dead. Okay? And it did change the world for the better. And we realized that we are the bird. We realized we are the eagle. That although the eagle's egg was breaking because of the DDT, it was a portion of us that was breaking because we are the eagle. So she did a great service by writing Silent Spring in the 60s. I remember what a shock it was, the title. And I kept saying to myself, my God, look how important the title is. So when I say trickle-down tyranny and you carry that cover around, that cover alone is the message. Remember Marshall McLuhan, the medium is the message? How about the message is the message? How about the message is the message? That says it all. You have a tyrant in the White House, surrounded by tyrants, living and acting out a tyranny. Right now, it's a minor tyranny. But mark my words, God forbid Romney blows this election or they get the illegal aliens to vote, as they're trying to do, or the trick voters from Brooklyn who can vote twice, once in Boca, once in Brooklyn. If that's permitted to go on, and this tyrant wins again, it's all hands off. This guy will do everything he's ever dreamed of doing. You say, well, what really is that? Well, go back to Reverend Jeremiah Wright's sermons, and you might get an inkling of what they have in mind. That's all. End of story. Now let's move on. The soda, the whatever. I got one television show to look forward to. Just those of you who are into entertainment, you know I'm a big watcher of... I really love Magic City. The Florida thing, late 50s, hotel owner, needs money, takes in a Jewish gangster as his partner, and the rest is history. It's astounding. Not as good as The Sopranos, and it's on an offbeat, you know, Stars rather than HBO. But the sets are amazing. The women are gorgeous. The cars are astonishing. The dialogue is, well, really tightly written. I remember when I was in L.A., I was telling them various actors that I liked. I liked Vito Morgenstern. I was thinking of Horowitz and Marguerite. I know. I thought of Horowitz and Marguerite and Matzah. Vito Mortensen, and they said he's Danish. I said, remember in that movie where he plays the Russian gangster and the fight in the bathhouse? I thought that was amazing. His best role, Vito Mortensen, was in, I first came to notice him as an actor, was in Carlito's Way, where they talk about him, right? And they show him in a flashback how he was a suave greeter in a certain private club. And now he's coming to visit Al Pacino, the Al Pacino character, in a wheelchair, all beaten up, you know, dirty. And he says, what are you going to do? What are you, shoot me? Go ahead, kill me. Look what I got here. Remember when he catches him with the wire? It was an astounding piece of acting. You try it sometime. It's funny, like I was with actors. So here I am telling them which acting scenes I like. They didn't ask for that. That would be like them telling me which talk shows they like. I would have been insulted. I didn't even realize. They'll never go to dinner with me again. I realized I shouldn't have done it. I got enthusiastic. I wanted to tell them which actors I liked and in which roles, but they didn't ask me. I was just talking. But then I realized if they did the reverse, they tell me, hey, did you hear him? Did you like what he said? Rush Limbaugh? I would have been insulted. I shouldn't have done that. See, it just shows you in retrospect the things you figure out. That's why it's better me and the dog at the end of the day. You can't insult a dog. That's the beauty. He doesn't know if you're insulting him. You little runt, you. He doesn't know if you're calling him a little runt. He thinks you love him. It's all in tone. That's what makes humans so great, our language. We're all about language, right? That's why I hate inarticulate people.
Savage.
It doesn't. It says Fast and Furious. Do you think we should try to have Lanny participate in press when Fast and Furious and Laura's Tucson case are unsealed? It's specific to Fast and Furious. That is not true, Mr. Attorney General. Yeah. I'm happy to share it with you. Now, you claim with passion that the nobody at the senior levels of the Department of Justice prior to the death of Brian Terry knew that guns were walking, and I've got an email from Jason Weinstein using the term guns walking.
That refers to wide receiver, not Fast and Furious.
That's not what the February 4th letter that was sent to the United States Congress said. It said that the ATF never uses those tactics. And never.
We said
that's not true.
Eric Holder is the most controversial attorney general in American history. Some would say the most corrupt. And he needs to be held accountable for his lack of action regarding the gun smuggling to Mexico. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation to tell you about this is Florida Congresswoman Sandy Adams. Congresswoman Adams, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
So give my audience the latest on this gun running to Mexico Fast and Furious scandal.
Well, as you know, we have asked very hard questions, I would consider easy questions, but apparently our Attorney General finds them very hard to answer about Fast and Furious. Who knew what, when, and where? And how is it that our Attorney General's office was involved in an international operation where guns were being allowed to walk across international borders, people were dying, including one of our own border agents, and our Attorney General, nor anyone that he can tell us, was aware of it.
But what are the real chances that Attorney General Holder will have a contempt charge brought against him? Can that really be done?
I think the chances are becoming very, very clear that he will have contempt charges brought forward because, as you know, we have asked and subpoenaed information from him, and to my knowledge, he has still not complied completely to the subpoenas, which means that if he does not, he is in contempt.
Is it true, as some say, that Holder is the most corrupt left-wing attorney general in American history?
You know, I would have to go back and look at all of our attorney generals, but I will tell you this. As someone who comes from law enforcement, I am shocked and appalled that we have an attorney general who would sit in front of us and make a statement that his office is somewhat politically inclined, which, you know, if you look at Lady Liberty, there's a reason she has a blindfold across her eyes. It's supposed to be equal justice for equal everyone.
Recently, the CBO said that the national debt will double over the next 25 years. Can we do anything to stop this?
Well, as you know, when the freshmen, Republican freshmen, were elected back in 2010, there were 87 of us who came to Washington with the same message. It was a unified message from the American people. Get our debt and deficit under control. Stop the spending. Be responsible. And one of the ways we did that was we said it's time to end these earmarks, these airdropped spending bills. You know, it's kind of like what they would do is, oh, I don't have enough votes for this bill, so if I give you this, then you'll vote for my bill. That needed to stop. And so what we did was we voted to ban earmarks. And I believe that is a big issue when it comes to, you know, adding to our debt and deficit, because every one of those earmarks costs money. And they're not being vetted. They're not being discussed in open committee. And they're being used as a bartering symbol to maybe get votes on a bill that could not pass on its own merits, which only adds more to the debt and deficit.
If Obama is reelected, is there any hope for the future of this country?
I think that we need to have some responsible action in the Senate and continue responsible action in the House. And if the president is reelected, then I believe that we better hope we have a Senate that's willing to work with the House and willing to stand up and fight for the American people, because right now this administration, in my view, is ignoring the American people and what they've asked them to do.
As a former law enforcement officer, you talk about the dangers of swatting. Tell my audience what swatting is and why it's so dangerous.
Well, it's become this issue where people are using voice over internet protocol. They're calling 911. They're alleging that they have harmed someone or holding someone hostage, whatever the case may be, and they're then giving out an address of their intended victim. And so law enforcement rushes to that address, sometimes with guns drawn, at an emergency speed, only to find out that the person there had never called the police. This was what they call swatting. And what they've done is they put the victim of the phone call at risk, they put the law enforcement at risk, and they put the community at risk while law enforcement is rushing to a scene that there is no scene, when there could be maybe a real call going down where they do need the police. So it is a very dangerous thing that's happening, and it's being used to stifle people's First Amendment rights. They're targeting a lot of the conservative members, bloggers and stuff, and it is a bad operation that's going on with this false calls and putting a lot of people's lives at risk.
Congresswoman Adams, thanks for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great to talk to you. And if anyone has any questions about me or how to get in touch with me, they can find me at sandyadams.com.
Patrick in Syracuse, New York, what's up? What's on your mind?
Reading the Bible, sir.
That's it? I should read the Bible? Just sit and read the Bible for the rest of the
day?
Read the Bible for the rest of the day?
No. It's so pertinent when you bring in scriptures, when it aligns up with America's history and America's future.
I know, but you see, I don't even have the Bible in this studio. I have about five studios in a small radius, and I move around from each to the other so that no one knows where I'm going to be when I'm going to be there. And in this studio, I do not have a Bible. In this studio, I have a copy of The New Yorker this is an older studio with the article, the profile of Michael Savage. In this studio, I have the Concise Etymological Dictionary of the English Language by Skeet, not to be confused with Skeet Shooter. But you're not. In this studio, I have the Rogette's Thesaurus. Do we like the French now or hate them? I have the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. I think I could just read the dictionary and have more impact than I could if I were to interview Romney. I'd be better off reading the dictionary than interviewing Romney. Do you realize, if I just read the dictionary, you'd have more information than from Romney. Romney is like the nun candidate's candidate. What does Romney stand for? Nothing.
Savage.
It was really upsetting. I didn't understand why, after they practiced it, she stopped them from practicing anymore and stopped them from singing the song.
And then when you heard Justin Bieber's song would replace it, what's your reaction?
It's confusing because Justin Bieber's song is for teenage love, and that's worse than singing God Bless the USA.
Love, love it, darling. Come and go with me.
It is Come Go With Me by the Del Vikings. This was such a great song for me in high school. I loved it. Working in the pharmacy, homework, the algebra, meatloaf on the walls, cyanide on the weekends. I mean, what could be better? People went on dates. I cleaned bronzes with cyanide in a basement like out of a Dickens story. That's why I am the man I am. Is it still playing? I can't hear it. It's dead. Are they still living, the Del Vikings? Anyone seen them recently in Fort Lauderdale by the nude beach? I once went down to Fort Lauderdale. All the Italian guys from Brooklyn are sitting there looking down at the French girl. What do you want from them? Who are they hurting? She's walking around. What do you expect them to do? Look up at his grandmother? Wake up and fly right. Fly on the wall. You can't even say fly right. Sounds like a right-wing fly. Wake up and don't fly left. It's the horn. I mean, this is amazing. That's amazing music. Amazing music. I wish I could play an instrument. I really do. Sunday afternoons, I go to this Latin club. I'm not going to say where. And I was talking to a musician last week. And I was watching the guys. I thought the guy was so talented. I was amazing. You know, he was from Uruguay. And, you know, he's playing conga drum. He's a leader, great singer. You never heard of this band. The guy's terrific. So I look at how talented these men are up on the stage. And his flute player was a woman. She was astonishing, almost as good as Fajardo. They were all astounding. So I was talking to a guy in the, you know, listening to the music, and some people were dancing. And he told me he's a drummer himself, and he was really amazed how good the guy was. So I said, I wish I could play an instrument, blah, blah, blah. He said, look, I said, do you think I could buy a ukulele and start with a ukulele? He laughed. He said, what do you want to do that for? I said, I don't know. If I got a ukulele, I could probably learn to play it like Arthur Godfrey, entertain the dog. You know, if I go on stage and do a lecture tour and open with a ukulele, it's a fun thing. He said, no, string instruments are very hard to learn. He said, they're very hard. They're hard on your fingers. He said, learn to play the piano. I said, are you kidding? He said, no, it's the easiest instrument to learn how to play. Of course, you have to be a genius to play it on a phenomenal level. But he said, it's very easy to understand because it's visual and it's easy on your hands. See, now a thing like that was very interesting to me. Fresno, Carmine, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Listen, you're such an educated man, and you're always telling us how many degrees you have. So I know you are aware, as well as your audience must be, because if they're prolific readers, they must know that the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Bilderberg Society are all part of this one, this New World Order. Made up of industrialists, made up of, I think your presidents ever since 1910, at least FDR, and
So wait, all of what you said is true. So who would you rather be running the world, the Occupy movement that would like to take away everything you own?
Or the rich bankers and the Rothschilds.
Wait, you're not answering me. You're still talking. Who would you rather be running the world, I'd like to know? Hello?
Yes. I guess your conspiracy group, yeah.
Carmine, you're not making any sense. You're giving me a reading list that I've heard 1,000 times about the evil bankers and this and that. And I'm asking you a simple question. Assuming they are a conspiracy to run the world, who would you rather have running the world?
Those people.
Okay, no answer. You see, this is the stupidity that I have to deal with. Do you realize how many gullible people there are out there? All you got to do is say banker, international, New World Order, ooh, they're out to get you. So, okay, so who do you want running the world?
Tell me who, the richest people or the poorest people? Would you like, let's say a peasant in Western China who takes the gallbladder out of bears? Would you like someone in China who uses African ivory for his male enhancement and they kill elephants for him? And let's see, somebody from Africa who doesn't use toilet paper and has never seen a toothbrush. And let's see, a Marxist from NYU. Who would you like making a plan for the future of the world? You figure it out, idiot. Conservatives are still the majority. It's a growing majority, by the way. Every poll that you really can trust has been showing America's move to the center right. And frankly, every time we're given the right to vote, a conservative position wins. I haven't seen a left-wing position win other than being forced on us by three-judge panels, two-judge panels, etc. The stench from the bench is making me clench. You have to understand what just happened in Wisconsin. You have to understand that Governor Walker is still there. You got to understand that the unions just lost a big battle. One after the other. The contest that the Democrats keep calling a dry run for the 2012 presidential election has been lost. You understand that? Their new battle, the illegitimate left, their new battle is the voter ID laws that people are trying to put in place in states around America. They're turning it into a war on blacks, a war on women, a war on Hispanics, when it really is an attempt to uphold the Constitution and the whole concept of voting itself. And this is what we're facing right now, an illegitimate government, an illegitimate union presence, but the people themselves are winning. So don't give up so fast. Chuck, and by the way, this goes to the why CNN's ratings are the lowest in 20 years. To me, that's a bellwether of what's coming unless they rig the election through the computers, the counting and whatever, or permitting illegal aliens to vote. If the election were held today, fair and square, Obama would lose by 20 points by what I see. What do I base that on? I base that upon what's happened since he's in power, and I base it upon the ratings of CNN, which are now 20 points down. So what does that tell you? It tells you liberals have abandoned the media because these media outlets are not even liberal. They become absolute left-wing fanatics, and even liberals don't want to listen to them anymore. You know, just because a person is a liberal doesn't mean they're irrational. They have survival as an operational principle in their lives, just as you do. So they start to see this fanaticism supporting the Occupy movement, which wants to take away a liberal's house as much as it wants to take away a conservative's house. They want to take the bank account away from a liberal as well as a Republican. They start to say, even a liberal can add up that they can't afford this to feed and house and medicate every illegal alien from Mexico. Even a liberal fears a dirty bomb in New York City from the Islamo-fascists. So they don't watch it. They don't want to hear it anymore. They don't want to hear this propaganda day and night. Liberalism on CNN has become morphed into something other than liberalism. It's morphed into extremism in the defense of communism. And so they turned it off. That's why I'm seeing what's going on. That's why I say what is going on in the media ratings is indicative of what's going to go on at the election, in my estimation, unless something dramatic happens before then. And there will be something dramatic. As I'm sitting here, there will be an October surprise, but it will happen in August or September. As sure as I'm standing here, both the United States, Britain, and Israel, all of them, will attack Iran. They've been waiting long and long enough. But, you know, that's a very big question unto itself. Here is the Hobson's choice that Israel has right now. If Israel were to attack Iran, as they should have done a long time ago, to protect their people from a second Holocaust, this time a far worse Holocaust, a nuclear Holocaust, they would be condemned by the world for having done so. Israel literally has to have a region of its nation or a city fry before they can strike back. Do you know that? That's the position they've been put in by the vermin in the media and by the Obama administration. This is not Ronald Reagan backing Israel. This is Obama stabbing Israel in the back, not backing them. They know it too. So the fact of the matter is, though, Obama probably will permit Israel and back Israel in an attack on Iran in order to get reelected. Two things happen if they do it. One, the issue of whether he's a strong leader, he took down bin Laden and he attacked Iran. You can't fault him on that if he does it. That's number one. Then there's the all-important money coming from Jewish sources. I mean, it's almost an uncomfortable statement to make, but there's tremendous amounts of money and a very small population of listeners and voters, And the fact of the matter is they've been withholding money from Obama because they're not sure where he stands on Israel. And so that's another big factor in the election. You got to understand that. I mean, I'm a realist. I give you reality here at a certain point. I may joke around, but at the end of the day, I mean, I do float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Thank you, Muhammad Ali. Pennsylvania Chuck, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello, Mike. Listen, as a former CNN, the first special assignments correspondent, I take issue with some of what you're saying about CNN. Do what we veterans do. We call it CN because there's no news. It's just a cable network or currently no news. But for those of us who initiated CNN in its early days, we did bang-up work and did a lot of
Well, of course you did. But the fact is I'm talking about their ratings collapsing under the current administration at CNN. That's what I've been focusing on. That's actually the lowest ratings in 20 years. I didn't say CNN was always bad.
Okay. Well, the impression is that. But there's another issue. There's a management issue here. When Fox started eroding CNN's ratings years ago, instead of continuing the march, going on where news is king, they became talk show oriented. And that's a reflection of what you said about...
Well, they put lightweights on, like Anderson Cooper. He doesn't belong in prime time. He's only there for a reason I don't have to mention on radio. He has no ratings. Do you think Piers Morgan is an American broadcaster? That's slimy, limey. I mean, they've made some critical errors, and they won't correct them.